Hello everyone, this is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for Monday, November 17th, 2025. It's actually a bi-weekly meeting at the moment, but usually they're weekly. This is the time of the week when we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. I'm Dan, and I'm sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from Adafruit.com. This meeting is hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython Dev text channel and the CircuitPython voice channel. This meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time, except when it coincides with the U.S. holiday. In the notes doc, which I'll describe in a minute, there's a link to a calendar you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send notifications about upcoming meetings via Discord. If you would like to receive these notifications, ask us to add you to the @CircuitPythonistas Discord role. There's a shared notes document that accompanies the meeting and recording, which right now is done in Google Docs. You can contribute to this document beforehand. The final notes document includes timestamps to go along with the video, so you can use the doc to skip around and view the parts of the video that interest you most. The meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes. After each meeting, we post a link for the next meeting's notes document to the CircuitPython dev channel in the Adafruit Discord. Check the pinned messages to find the latest notes doc so you can add your notes for the following meeting. If you wish to participate but cannot attend, you can leave hug reports and status updates in the document for us to read out loud during the meeting. This meeting is held in 5 parts, and I'll go over these parts as we get to each one. So let's get started. I'll take a timestamp. The first part is community news. Since this is a bi-weekly meeting, I have news from the past 2 weeks instead of just the past week. And this news comes from the Python or Microcontrollers newsletter that from Adafruit publishes every week. I'll give you some more information about it when I'm done. So first item is that CircuitPython 10.1.0 beta.1 was released. That's about 10 days ago. It's the latest beta release for 10.1.0. It has known bugs that will be fixed before the final release of 10.1.0. And this release, this beta 1 release, compared with beta 0, it has two interesting additions. It has a new MIPI DSI native module to support MIPI DSI displays. Currently, it's only enabled for ESP32P4 boards, and only one or two of those, but it does work, and you're welcome to try it out. And the other thing that has been fixed is that there was a problem with presenting user-mounted SD cards over USB, and that is fixed in this beta 1 release. Okay, next up, there's a new version of the VS Code extension, CircuitPython Sync, which adds serial port support. It's for devices that don't present a CircuitPy drive, such as the Feather V2 and other like ESP32 or ESP32C3 or C6 boards. Version 2 offers almost all the features of version 1 for serial port boards, such as file and library upload, a full-featured board explorer, and extensive built-in help. The extension continues to be fully open source. And there's a link to the Visual Studio Marketplace in the notes document. Next up, a very interesting item. IKEA has launched a new range of smart home products with 21 products. These products are all Matter compatible. Matter is a smart home standard that a number of smart home devices talk to. This is a very interesting release because there haven't been that many Matter devices, and for IKEA to take the lead here is very interesting and welcome. And it's interesting to CircuitPython because we have been working on a Matter implementation for CircuitPython called CircuitMatter. We have a kind of a prototype that runs under Blinka, but we've also been working on something that could run native on boards. It doesn't really work yet. It's kind of on hold, but we may take it up again during the winter time. So it's very nice to know that these devices are available, and there'll be a lot more devices to test with. And we look forward to trying them out. All right, next up, Raspberry Pi. The Raspberry Pi Foundation is the new home for the Blockly code base, which is a leading open source library for visual programming. Blockly is used a lot. It's used in Scratch, MakeCode, in Adafruit I/O, which now has a Blockly style interface, and for some versions of Python. There are some versions of Python that use Blockly to make it easier to write Python without having to know the syntax. So read about this. It was transferred from Google to the Raspberry Pi Foundation, and it's good to hear that somebody's going to continue working on this project, which is an extremely useful base piece of software. Okay, next up, Adafruit is shipping a new AdaBox after a hiatus. AdaBox 22, the first AdaBox in a while, is currently shipping. The price is the same, but the method for confirming your interest is a bit different. If you are an AdaBox subscriber prior to this, please watch this video. There's a link. And watch your emails to get the details. So it's not a secret, I think, that the AdaBox is based on Fruit Jam. And if you're already an AdaBox subscriber, you'll hear about it. And if you're not, you may or may not get a chance to buy an AdaBox. But there'll be more details available later about how AdaBoxes are going to proceed in the future. Okay, so let me tell you about all these newsletter details. This news comes from the Python and Microcontrollers Weekly Newsletter, which is a CircuitPython community-run newsletter that's emailed every Monday. There's a link to the archives of the newsletter in the notes document. The newsletter highlights the latest Python and hardware-related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. To contribute your own news or project, or tell us anything that's interesting, email cpnews@adafruit.com. We really appreciate hearing what news you have to share. All right, that's it for the community news section of the meeting. We'll now go ahead to the next major section, which is the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. This is a quantitative overview of the entire CircuitPython project. This section gives us a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our own status updates. We'll talk about the project overall and then separately discuss the core, the libraries, and Blinka. So, overall, in the past 2 weeks, I've merged the statistics from our weekly reports. There were 18 pull requests merged by 14 authors. I've seen some new names on the author list: Vinicentis, Chin H4 the Pro, Panther, Alio 7, Burten T, and Captain Haddock 2016 are names that are less familiar or not familiar to me. And in those 18 pull requests merged, there were 6 issues closed overall in the project and 18 new issues opened. And now I'll talk about the core, the CircuitPython core. That's the CircuitPython core software itself. In the past 2 weeks, there were 7 pull requests merged by 4 authors. There were 2 reviewers. There are now 21 open pull requests. I've deleted the list of the pull requests because you can just go to GitHub and look at that list. There was 1 issue closed and 3 opened. There are now 823 open issues currently. They are grouped into milestones, so we can keep track of which issues are most important to fix when. There's a milestone for issues that we'd like to fix in the 10.0x time frame, and there are 9 open issues there. There's one issue to fix, or 2 issues to fix, that we hope to fix by 10.1.0, and there are 85 open issues to fix sometime during 10. That's the 10.x.x milestone. Then for version 11, we've deferred 9 issues to when 11 happens. And then there are other categories like libraries, long-term support, and third party. And there are no issues that are not assigned the milestone because I triaged some issues this morning. Okay, we'll now move on to hear about the status of CircuitPython libraries. So, Tim, if you could go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. This section covers the CircuitPython libraries, which are split up into 2 different bundles hosted on GitHub. We have the Adafruit library bundle with 379 libraries in that one currently, and the community library bundle, which contains libraries submitted by individuals and members of the community. There's 171 in that one for a total right now of 550 libraries that support CircuitPython. Across the Adafruit bundle, over the past couple of weeks, we had 11 pull requests merged by 11 authors. So thanks to those folks, including the folks that Dan mentioned before as newer or less frequent contributors, as well as our other contributors who do pop up in these lists more frequently. We had 4 reviewers, so thanks to them as well, Liz, Dan, Justin, and myself. Of the pull requests that were merged, the oldest one was actually a bit older this week, 258 days, the one over in the ESP32SPI library, which we'll hear a bit more about later, I think. And the newest one, like usual, was 1 day old. That leaves us now with 47 pull requests open. The oldest one is still hanging around. It's up to 1,187 days. The newest one is showing 10 days right now as of these stats. And over the past couple weeks, we had 5 issues closed with 8 new issues opened up. And there are currently 758 open issues across all the Adafruit bundle libraries. And there is one of them right now that's labeled as a good first issue, which you can find listed over at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is the website where you should head if you would like to get involved in the CircuitPython project. What we tend to point folks towards first is on that page, circuitpython.org/contributing. The first thing you see is a list of open pull requests. These are links over to GitHub with proposed changes, and they're waiting for a person to review that change. And that can be you if you would like to get involved. The process for that is basically just look through that list, find something that you're interested in, click through to GitHub, read about what the proposed change is. If you have hardware for it, you can run it on your device and then leave a comment there on GitHub letting us know how it went, and then be sure to include information about your device, like which version it was, what model, all of that important technical stuff. You can also just look over the code if you don't happen to have that particular device, but you want to help out and get involved with reviewing. That's totally fine as well. You can look over the code for spelling, syntax, logic, anything like that. And again, just leave a comment on GitHub letting us know what you found when you looked it over. If you would like to get leveled up to leave official reviews over on GitHub, which are slightly different than normal comments, we can work with you to get you joined to the team to make that happen if you'd like. If you would like to start making some changes of your own or proposing some changes of your own rather than reviewing, that is also possible to do from circuitpython.org/contributing. Along the top, if you click over to issues, you'll see a similar looking page with a bunch of links over to GitHub, but these ones represent issues. They don't have a proposed change yet. They're waiting for a person who wants to come along and actually do the work to make whatever change would be necessary, whether it's fixing a bug or adding a new feature or enhancement or a new example or something like that. So similar process there. Look through the list, find something that you're interested in or that you've got the hardware for, click through to GitHub, read about what the issue is, and then for this one, you'd be submitting your own PR with a resolution to that issue. We do have a learn guide for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are more than happy to help get you started up if you're trying to work on this and you're having trouble with any part of the process here on Discord. So if that is you, you're trying to review or you're trying to submit a pull request, you're having trouble with actions or anything else, just come say hi on Discord. Let us know what you're up to. We would be happy to help you out. And then I'll leave you with the new libraries for the last 14 days over in the community bundle. We have CircuitPython Grove Vision AI 2 for the Seed Grove Vision AI device. So if anyone's got that hardware, you're interested, there's now support over in the community bundle for that. That's what we've got for libraries. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Tim. All right. Next up, we've got the Blinka section. Blinka is a compatibility layer for CircuitPython that runs on single board computers like Raspberry Pi. So using Blinka, you can write code in CircuitPython, but have it run under regular Python with a emulation layer that handles the native hardware stuff that CircuitPython provides. So in the past 2 weeks, there weren't any pull requests merged. There are currently 18 open pull requests across the Blinka repositories. So there were 0 issues closed by 0 people and 4 new issues opened by 2 people. There are right now 140 open issues in the Blinka repository itself, and there are 166 boards that are supported under Blinka, single board computers and similar things. All right, and that is it for the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. So now we'll move on to the next major section, Hug Reports. Hug Reports is a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I'll start, and then we'll go down the list of Hug Reports alphabetically. If you are text only or missing the meeting, I'll just read your notes when I get to them in the list. Okay, so here I go. Do the timestamp. Thanks to Scott for the MIPI DSI support, which is in CircuitPython 10.1.0 Beta 1. Thanks to Narodoc for writing a PR a long time ago, which we finally merged, that improves the socket API in the ESP32 library. And thanks to Tim, Foamy Guy, for continued fixes and improvements to the Fruit Jam software for the Fruit Jam board, which is a very popular I don't know if I'd call it a single board computer, but it's a microcontroller computer-based computer, what we might say. Next up is C. Grover's contribution. I'll read theirs. Thanks to Dan and H and the team for async.io and the excellent usage examples. Saved my bacon on the latest project. Thanks to Aaron St. Blaine, FirePixie, and John Park for helpful and comprehensive WLED tutorials setting the stage for the next project. And congratulations to Lady Ada and Phil for the most recent addition, he means to their family. Okay, next up is Tim.
All right, thank you. I have Hug Reports. Thanks to Retired Wizard for submitting some Fruit Jam OS screensavers, as well as other improvements, other Fruit Jam projects. There was also some fixes to the Match 3 game, and a really cool new feature for the Spell Jam app as well. So thanks again to Retired Wizard for all of their help making Fruit Jam stuff even more cool. Thanks to you, Dan, for working on the native ESP32 spy stuff. I think that's going to be really cool once we have that moved into the core, as well as for refactoring the Python version to have a less complex naming structure. Thanks to Jerry for reporting an issue with the PixelFed photo viewer project that I worked on a week or two ago that was not working correctly for folks who hadn't had it set up. So I appreciate the pointer there and got that fixed. Thanks to Just Mobilize for reviewing my PR in the request library. And finally, thanks to SumNice on Discord for linking me to some details on dithering algorithms while I was working on this on the stream over over the weekend. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tim. And next up, we've got Jerry, if you're available to talk.
Hi, congratulations and best wishes to Lady Ada and PT and a group hug. Thanks for being here.
All right, thank you, Jerry. Okay, next up is Scott Tanhut's contribution. I'll read his. Congratulations to Lady Ada and PT for their second Ada baby, and thanks to Retired Wizard for the MIPI DSI testing. All right, so next up we've got status updates. This is our time to tell folks what we're each up to individually. And I'll start and we'll go through the list of updates individually. This is just what we've done in the past week or two. Tell us what you've been working on and what you might be working on in the future. If there's some discussion that we'd like to have, we can move that to the In the Weeds section if we need a more extensive discussion. So I'll start. So as mentioned, I released CircuitPython 10.1.0 Beta 1 about 10 days ago. It includes Scott's MIPI DSI support and SD card USB presentation fixes. I also, as mentioned, I merged an older PR that improves the socket API in the Adafruit ESP32 SPI library. And I simplified the importing of that library. The importing scheme, I made it so it's backwards compatible, so existing code can still be imported in the old way, but the new way is simpler. You don't have to import Adafruit ESP32 SPI dot Adafruit ESP32 SPI. And I also simplified the names of a couple of submodules in the library. There are a few other libraries that have this kind of duplicated top-level name thing, and maybe we'll work on simplifying those imports as well. It was usually what happened is that a library was a single file, and then somebody decided it needed to be a multiple file library, and instead of moving all the code into, say, __init__py, they just put the original file under a directory name, and that had to change. That forces the import logic to change. So we'll try to avoid that in the future. And finally, what I'm working on is to make Adafruit ESP32 SPI be an optional native module, so it's supported natively without the need for a frozen library or CircuitPython library import. It'll just be there and available to import. And I'm already about halfway through that. Currently, I can talk to the Airlift devices. These are these ESP32 or ESP32C6 coprocessors, and do network scans and other operations. And now I need to finish it by implementing the socket operations. And I've done this by giving some instructions. Originally, I got the boilerplate by asking Claude Code to do this and convert the Python library into C code. And it did a pretty good darn job of converting the individual API calls. It made a couple of mistakes in the SPI operations, and it didn't get the library structure exactly right. So I'm fixing that stuff up by hand, but it has saved a lot of work in terms of just copying over the basic code and putting in the skeletal implementation. And it's written in a reasonable way usually when it works on it. All right, next up I'll read C. Grover's contribution. Completed a sci-fi movie prop lighting controller with 122 neopixels and 3 async IO animation functions. And there's a playground note to look at. I recommend you look at it. It was very interesting. I read it before the meeting. The latest project opened the door for designing and modifying other props for the movie as well. The next project in the queue is to employ WLED or CircuitPython to create a sound-activated display to be built into a large Hohner Marine Band harmonica store display model for a wall in the studio. All right, so then we've got neopixels and harmonicas. And finally, my classic rock band just completed its 2025 second reunion tour, opening up the calendar to resume work on my next solo album. Might take a year or more to complete. Too many songs to choose from right now, and I'm contemplating switching to a new DAW, of course, and that's digital audio workstation software. I think that's what the acronym is. And next up, we've got Tim.
All right. I added support into FruitJam OS for screensavers, so you can now configure that. If you let it sit idle for however long you specify, it will take over the screen and start showing some interesting animations. I implemented a couple of classic ones from the old After Dark screensavers pack. There's the aquarium and the flying toasters, which have been done in a couple other learn guides over the years. And there are a few others beyond that as well, the bouncing logo and some cool ones that Retired Wizard added also now. All are included in FruitJam OS. And then I wrote a new guide page for the FruitJam OS guide that has details of the ones that are included as well as information about how you can create your own. So if folks want to build their own, whether classic or new screensavers, there's instructions in there for how you structure your code to do that. I worked on the project and guide for a MagTag 50-cent CPI tracker. So this is kind of a fun project where it's pulling data out of the U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics, or Labor Statistics, the inflation data that the government makes available, and then it's finding information from 1994 to compare so that we can find out how much 50 Cent, whose name was selected in 1994, it's reported, how much that's worth today. So right now we're up to 110 Cent, and if you install this project on your MagTag, you can keep an eye on that as time goes on. While working on that project, I kind of got started on this next item, which is trying to implement multicolor dithering. There is some dithering built into CircuitPython in bitmap tools, and there's also a little bit actually which I didn't know about in the Display.io palette, which I discovered on the deep dive on Friday. But both of those options are, as far as I can tell, a two-color dither. They're for basically just white and black displays, which looks pretty good on the MagTag, but the MagTag's display can do up to four colors. It actually has support for white, black, and then two grays. So I'm trying to make an algorithm that, or implement an algorithm that will dither it into all four colors. I have this code working with PIL on CPython, but I'm trying to get it into CircuitPython. And I have an attempt made, but it didn't work out, but I learned a bunch, and I think I know the direction to head to get it to actually work. While I was working on that, I did find a hard crash issue with np.array from MicroLab and submitted an issue for that with a minimal reproducer. And that is what I've been up to. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Tim. Okay, and finally, I'll read Scott Tanute's contribution. Fixed an issue with artifacts on MIPI DSI display. Issue was incorrect flushing of caches. So that's post beta 1, and it'll get into beta 2, that issue. Working to bring up more DSI displays and create libraries for them. Also updating to Zephyr 4.3.0 in prep for working mostly on Zephyr. So Scott's been part-time for a while and is going to come back more full-time in the near future. Okay, that's it for status reports. The next section is in the weeds, where we would have longer-form discussions about anything that we wanted to discuss among themselves. We don't have any topics today, so we'll just move on to the wrap-up. So thanks for everybody for participating. This has been the CircuitPython Weekly for Monday, November 17th, 2025. If you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, and those of us that work on CircuitPython, consider purchasing from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. The video of this meeting will be released on YouTube at youtube.com/Adafruit, and the podcast will be available on major podcast services. There will also be newsletter will also be featured in the next Python for Microcontrollers newsletter, which I mentioned in the news section. Visit adafruitdaily.com to subscribe. The next meeting will be held in 2 weeks on Monday, December 1st at the regular time of 11 a.m. U.S. Eastern and 11 a.m. Pacific time. And we'll still be probably doing skipping some weeks until the beginning, until 2026, because of holidays. And if you want to be notified about the meeting or any changes to the time or day, ask to be added to the @CircuitPython Pythonistas role on Discord. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you, everybody, and I will stop recording.